It's time to pony up to the table and hear all of what's going on in the county, where it all comes together. The County Grapevine, a 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
Yes, this is the County Grapevine for Wednesday, July 8th. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Wheatley, your host, and a bit later on Taking Care of Business, Duarte da Silva speaks with summer job students Winnie Parker and Ethan Eskins about the Youth Employment and Skills Strategy Program. Then, on the County Naturally, Prince Edward Point Bird Observatory's Ashley Jensen discusses hummingbirds with Pamela Stagg, truly remarkable creatures. But up first, here is Liz Moran with this week's The County Cooks. Liz?
I'm Liz Moran for County Cooks, and today I'm speaking with Justin C., the executive chef and culinary director for Delphine and Foundry at the Claremont Club. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you here. So first off, tell us what or who inspired you to love to cook.
Absolutely. My father and grandfather were both chefs and restaurant owners, so that definitely had a heavy influence on who I am today as a chef and as a cook. And then I've had many great mentors in the professional kitchens, in fine dining and whatnot. The first one that comes to mind is the first chef I worked for in a fine dining restaurant in Ottawa called Michael Hay.
Oh, wow, yes. Very nice.
Yeah.
I've heard of him.
Funny enough, he went to school with my sister, so we all grew up in Kingston and went off to Ottawa to become a great chef at a fine dining restaurant. And he had just taken over at the young age of 26, and I had just finished my first year of culinary school. So I went out there during the summer break, and I worked there for the summer. After I graduated, I ended up working for him for another 5 years.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So what culinary school did you go to?
I went to St. Lawrence College in Kingston, Ontario, and I took a 2-year management culinary course.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, no, I guess that covers not only cooking, but running a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. They put you in the front of the restaurant and the back of the restaurant, which is very beneficial to anyone who wants to kind of pursue opening a restaurant, because it's just as important to be in the dining room as it is in the kitchen.
Right. And very interesting for you to grow up from a young age with your dad and, I guess you said, your grandfather as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you were working in Ottawa for 5 years, and have you been anywhere else working in restaurants?
Yep. Before leaving Kingston, I worked in a couple different restaurants there. I worked honestly at so many different random spots. I worked at retirement homes in Kingston.
Oh, wow.
Hotels in Kingston, Queen's University in the cafeteria, and then, of course, my father's restaurant and my grandfather's restaurant. And then after that, I moved out to Ottawa, and I worked in a bunch of restaurants there. A couple of there, Courtyard, Social, and then over to the Quebec side, I worked at Odile and Chez Edgar. And then as I kind of matured, I ended up taking a 10-year, I worked for 10 years in the High Arctic, basically.
Really?
So at a Adventure Wilderness Lodge, kind of like a luxury resort. A lot of people would go up there to see beluga whales or polar bears or go fishing. So that was
seasonal. You were there for 10 years?
Yeah. So
amazing.
I started pretty much in 2012, and I did that seasonally for 10 years. And then in the off season, I worked a lot in Toronto, and I'm back in Ottawa.
Right. So what was the place called again in the Arctic?
It was called Arctic Watch and Arctic Haven. There were two lodges and resorts under the same company.
Right. So would you have a specific menu to that area somehow?
Yeah.
With what you could, you know, what you could access?
Yeah. So everything was flown in, as from the ingredients to the tools, the equipment, and the guest himself. But in terms of local ingredients, we used a lot of fish. We fished our own Arctic char.
Wow.
And then we would work with the local communities and use things like caribou, and we'd pick sorrel and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, it sounds like you have such a varied background, which always brings, you know, all these things to us now where we are. So what brought you to the county, and when did you come?
I came to the county in 2023, so just over 3 years right now.
Yes.
And I came for an opportunity working in the county at a lovely place called Wander the Resort.
Right. Okay, so that was your first venture into the county.
Yep.
Yeah, and now?
And now, so I've got a new opportunity. I've taken on an amazing project at the Claremont Club, overseeing both the restaurants and the opening of Delphine, which is happening very soon.
Right. So I've been to Foundry, lovely spot. I had a great meal there. And then Delphine, I think you said it will be opening sometime soon, early July, for the summertime.
Yep, just in time.
That'll be great. Okay, so generally, how would you describe the menu that you're planning at Delphine?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have a focus on seafood and raw burr. So we'll have a little open kitchen for the whole kitchen, and then there'll be a section that's designated for seafood towers, things like tuna tartars, oysters, chilled cocktail shrimp and that kind of stuff, lobsters and whatnot. And then the kitchen itself, there's going to be a lot of Cantonese and Filipino influences in the menu.
Nice.
But not, I wouldn't say we're an Asian restaurant by any means. That's just kind of the core team itself has a lot of background and comes from those cultures. So you'll
Wonderful.
See a lot of those ingredients in our menu. But we work very closely with the local growers, so like things like Vicky's Veggies, Paper Kite Farms, Hagerman's and Landry's and all that. So working locally with the things that are growing, so you'll see a lot of things like shishito peppers and tomatoes of various types and
right.
corn. Yeah, so like working
Great.
Hand in hand with the people around us.
Right. So, I mean, we, as I always say, we have such access to our farmers and our growers, and we're very lucky here, except for maybe in January.
Yeah, you got to get creative and find a way to extend that season.
Yeah. Well, I guess, and also going out to the farms and, you know, getting fresh ingredients, sometimes you'll see something that you didn't really think about, and you have to come up with some creative idea of what should I do with this today?
Yeah, no, it makes it a lot more fun and a lot more creative, and it's honestly a chef's dream location.
Great. Okay, so in your own words, how would you describe the aesthetic, the vibe of Delphine, and then talk a little bit later after that about the vibe at Foundry and what the differences might be for people?
Yeah, for sure. Delphine, it's a beautifully built. It's got this open kitchen that you can see everything. You can see all the action. So it's going to be a little more theatrical and a little more like a show, if you could say. And the menu itself will be changing constantly with the things that are growing and seasonally. And also to give people something to look forward to, something new and exciting, you'll see ingredients that you might not be familiar with, but they won't be intimidating.
Right.
We're going to be cooking classics as well as things with a much more modern touch. And then we have this beautiful chef's counter that's about six to eight seats, depending on how we configure it. But it's right on the pass of the kitchen. So you're sitting front and center. It's almost like courtside
seats.
That's
so fun.
And it's going to have an exclusive menu there that you can only get sitting at that counter, which is a chef's course tasting menu.
Cool.
Yeah, so it'll be an 8-course blind tasting menu. So you won't actually know what you're getting. It's a very much a foodie experience. It's an adventurous experience. And it lets us be a little more creative and a little more adventurous.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So the counter, you can see everything happening.
Yep.
And as you said, blind tasting. So you're not really sure what you're going to have.
Exactly.
Very cool. Yeah. So I guess, you know, people will have to, you know, look for that and book that. And how many seats? You said 6 to 8?
That's for the chef's counter? Yes, yeah. The restaurant itself, 150, 180 seats. It's a large restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. With the patio. Yeah.
Wow,
so
fabulous.
In the summer, yeah.
Great. So, again, okay, so that's a good point. What a location you have at Claremont Club.
Mm-hmm.
You're up high, elevated there, looking out over Picton Bay. Tell me a little bit about the patio.
Yeah, so both restaurants, both Foundry and Delphine, have beautiful patios. Amazing view of the harbor. You can really see all the boats coming in and all the people on the dock and on the boardwalk. And it's got really an amazing and magical sunset.
Absolutely. That'll be gorgeous. So you'll have seating out there for both restaurants.
Yeah, and the nice thing about it is you're getting this amazing view with only being about an 8-minute walk to the main street of Picton.
Right.
So you're just right down in the center of it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, very, very accessible. Yeah. Great. Okay, so the hours of business, I guess, you're still working out.
Yeah, with us opening the two restaurants, we're kind of figuring out what the best hours of operation are. So
right, good. So Foundry right now, I think, has dinners,
mm-hmm.
and then it has breakfast.
Yeah, we do brunch on the weekends.
On the weekends,
and then
right.
we've just opened for lunch at the Foundry as well.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful! I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so you mentioned that some of the ingredients that we might not recognize. So give me a couple little tidbits of something that is unique but very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Fermented black bean is a very Cantonese and classic dish. You usually get it with pork spare ribs.
Right.
So we're going to have a dish on the menu that's beef short rib. So similar concept, but a really large, almost like some people call it a dinosaur rib because it's almost medieval times-like. It's got the bone in and everything. We cook it nice and slow, and then we finish it over the charcoal, over some nice fire. But that's going to be served with a fermented black bean. So that's something that's not quite familiar for a lot of people. And things like Asian citruses, so like calamansi and yuzu, and passion fruits and stuff like that. You'll see a lot of that across the seafood menu and in our dessert menu as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Yuzu. I'm familiar with yuzu, but that's not something that you will see all the time.
Yep.
A beautiful flavor.
Absolutely.
Very nice. Okay. So as you are so experienced and over the years, do you have a couple maybe of cookbooks or chefs that have been an influence on you?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of a list of cookbooks, I feel like that could be its own episode. There's so many of them. But in terms of chefs, I'll keep it to the classics. So like Thomas Keller of the French Laundry, per se, Bouchon. So he's from California.
Right.
Kind of the godfather of American cuisine. And kind of without him, we wouldn't have all these other chefs that came after him. Other than that, Fergus Henderson from St. John's in England. Sat Bains from England as well. But yeah, there's so many chefs that you kind of look up to and read about, and Anthony Bourdain, and all kinds of different aspects of chefs that were journalists and chefs that were kind of the fundamentals and teaching all the other chefs what to expect and what to aim for.
Right. Now, we have the internet nowadays, but personally, I love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
I was more in the business side of things, but I'm retired now. But I have always loved cooking since a very young age. I grew up in a really big family. And I love cookbooks. I read cookbooks for fun, you know. So do you have a cookbook collection?
I do. It's quite extensive. moving is always very difficult, and I always ask myself why I keep buying so many. And it's nice. Sometimes you give some to your team. Sometimes you give some to a up-and-coming cook. But honestly, I do buy a lot of cookbooks. It helps with kind of keeping ahead of the times and keeping with the times, but also just looking at it, the beautiful photos for creativity, and of course the recipes itself as well.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know about you or Claremont and what you're doing there?
Honestly, we're just really excited to bring a new beautiful space to the county. It's something that I think that truly is special, and we're really excited to share it with everyone. And I think when people come in, they're going to really see and feel that in both the service and the food.
Right. Well, as I said, I've been to Foundry. It's such a beautiful setting, and the design and the aesthetic of the restaurants is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, they really knocked it out of the park in terms of how to build a restaurant that's both visually appealing and welcoming in the same way.
Right. Very nice. Okay. So the best way for people to connect to you and to the restaurants, you have socials, I guess.
So Instagram for the Claremont Club, that kind of covers both the restaurants and the hotel itself and anything under the brand. And then the website will have all our contact info, but for reservations, Open Table. And then you can always email us, and we'll get back to you.
Right. So claremontclub.ca is the website. I guess if you can go to Open Table directly, or you could go into the website and it'll probably take you there,
either
too.
Either way will work. You can go directly, or you can click the link through the website as well.
Right. Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to trying it out.
Absolutely.
And it's so exciting. So, in closing, I've been speaking with executive chef and culinary director Justin C. of the Claremont Club. Please make sure to check out all they have to offer. They are located at 40 Clara Drive, which is in the Port Picton development. Thanks for coming in today, Justin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great having you here. And thank you all for listening. I'm Liz Moran for County Cooks on 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
Thank you, Justin and Liz. Up next on The Grapevine, taking care of business, Duarte Silva speaking with Canada Summer Job students Winnie Parker and Ethan Eskins about the Youth Employment and Skills Strategy Program. Keep it tuned to The Grapevine on County FM.